You have your Bibles, will you turn to Psalm chapter 4 and verse 7. My question this morning to you all is, what is in your heart? We're not talking about the physical organ that pumps blood. We all have one of those. But in Scripture, the word heart is regularly used for the whole inner nature of man. The real you that is in you. That part of you which makes decisions and expresses emotion and thinks about the deep things of God. What is in your heart? That heart is the controlling factor of your life. You are what your heart is. And you may put on a facade that impresses people one way or another. But God sees the heart. He knows exactly what you really are. There's no possible way you can hide from the divine gaze. David was a great musician, and he wrote these psalms from the heart. His own inner nature rose up within him to celebrate the greatness of God, to sing the tremendous mercies and love of God. And he expresses so well what we would say if we could only think the way he did. In Psalm 4 and verse 7, he wrote, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased." Now, here's a statement that we can look at and absorb a considerable bit of truth out of. God is the one who puts gladness within us. You know, people can be happy for various reasons. They can crank up a kind of shallow froth that makes life sound happy. The heart may not be rejoicing at all. But when God puts that kind of joy that only He can give in the heart, that is not just froth on the surface. It's something that comes from within. And David says here, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart." There's a gladness that God can give that nothing else can influence. Even sorrow in this world cannot take away the gladness that God puts in the heart. He puts it there to stay. And it's a wonderful thing when the believer can look at the changing fortunes of life and the varying disasters that can come so easily and find that in his heart there is still gladness because God is still there and God gives the gladness and all is well. Worldly people who do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus have no such gladness within. They have to somehow put on happy, happy, happy by their surroundings. And they artificially crank it up. But it can disappear awfully easy. But the gladness that God puts in the heart doesn't disappear. Because He doesn't disappear. He is in the believer's heart. And the gladness is there because it expresses His relationship with the believer. It's interesting that in verse 3, David says, "Know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." David was very sure that when he asked God in prayer, God was listening. And God was prepared to answer. Prayer was not just a form, a rote thing that he rattled through, repeating words. Prayer was communion with God. It was a conversation with the Almighty. He knew God was listening. friends, we need to be aware of that very consciously, that when we pray, we are not reciting words. We're speaking to a person who is listening. God wishes to hear from us, not just words, but the joy of heart, the celebration of His goodness and His greatness, true prayer, scaling the heights of heaven to commune with the God who is above all. He is listening. And it's God who has put that gladness in our hearts, gladness that nothing can take away. It's significant that he says in the last part of verse 7, more than in the time that their grain and their wine increased, he gave gladness more than the rich harvest could bring. Now, if any of you have worked on the farm or been connected with growing things, you know harvest is a very special time of year when the crops come in, when the bounty is there, the fruits of all the labors of the year. Now, that's a glad time for those who have been laboring in that part, who have been struggling to produce that harvest. And now it is there. That's a happy time indeed. But he says this gladness that God has given him is greater than the gladness of those who have reaped the harvest. And that tells us something about the right relationship with God. It's not an official one. It's not something that can be cranked up. It is the relationship of the believer to his God that comes from the heart and sings the praises of God. And it all comes from inside. It's not something that we work up. It's spontaneous. In Psalm 37, dropping down to verse 31, David speaks of the man who is righteous, who speaks wisdom, and his tongue speaks of judgment, that is, good judgment. Verse 31 says, the law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. Now, here's a person who has the law of God inscribed within him. It's not just something that he reads in a book. It's something that he has absorbed, devoured, hidden in his heart. And now from within, he celebrates that goodness of God that comes from a right relationship with God. For this person is righteous. He has God's righteousness because he's submitted to God's word. The law of God is in his heart. It's there to stay. It's something he treasures. And consequently, none of his steps shall slide. We all know the feeling of that. That's bad in wintertime when it's slippery and you can feel your footing go. You know you're sliding. That's unnerving. Nobody likes that feeling at all because you know there's going to be a thud afterwards. And that's not happy at all. But here, the psalmist is speaking of the assurance that God gives, the right relationship to God. The believer can walk knowing his feet are not sliding, because he's walking God's pathway, and God is with him, preserving his steps, and not even one, none of his steps shall slide. God preserves his people. God's grace is more than enough to keep our feet from sliding. And we're speaking, as the psalmist is here, about moral issues, not just steps on a sidewalk, but the moral pathway, the pathway of life that we must walk. When God is in the heart and the believer is communing with him, none of his steps are going to slide. God is going to see to it that his steps are preserved, and he's walking a pathway that honors God and that has the right destination at the end of it. David was sure of that. He was walking a pathway that he was committed to. And he was singing God's praises, celebrating God as he walked that pathway. Friends, that's something we can all do. We may not have the musical skills of David, but in our hearts, we can sing God's praises. We can celebrate how great he is because we're walking his pathway. sure of our steps, sure of the goal at the end of that pathway. That's a wonderful sensation. In Psalm 40, verse 8, the psalmist says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And here is that devotion to God, that hiding of the word in the heart, so that he is here sure that he is walking that pathway. He delights in that pathway. It is something that he rejoices. You know, I get the impression for some immature Christians that they're walking God's pathway and it's a grudging task. It's something that they've got to struggle to do. There's no fun at all. Well, fun is one category. Joy is a different category. The world thinks only of fun, fun, fun. That's all. But that is transitory. That's something you enjoy for a season and it's gone. Totally gone. You've got to crank up something else to keep that same level. But the joy that God puts in the heart doesn't depart that way. The gladness that he gives is there constantly because he is there constantly. And when you have him and you can commune with him and the joy that he gives is within the heart, that gladness never ceases. It's something that overflows all the time because he's producing it. You aren't trying to crank it up. It's something he imparts to you. A joy that no one can take away. Gladness that is yours forever. That is indeed a blessing. We need that delight in God's word. We need to hide his word in our hearts, that his word may keep producing that gladness within. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, the psalmist speaks very soberly. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now that tells us something about our right relationship with God. When we are walking with God on his pathway, we're walking away from iniquity, away from sin. We're not going in that direction. We're going in his direction, which is the direct opposite. But the believer who forgets and who finds himself going in the wrong direction, who discovers iniquity in his heart, something that is wrong, now he has hurt his relationship with God. And he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I look at it and let it sit there, the Lord will not hear me. The door of prayer is closed because God has no fellowship with iniquity. He cannot look upon sin with approval. And so that's a reminder for all of us. We have a walk with God to maintain by a proper relationship with God. When the believer finds that iniquity within, he must deal with it, cast it out of his life, turn his back upon it, restore that right relationship with God, keep walking in the right direction. And in verse 20, the psalmist says, blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Yes, the right response of the believer restores the right walk with God. And the blessedness continues, and the presence of God is there as it was before. And every believer must learn that secret of dealing with sin quickly, of addressing the problem at once and forsaking what is there, and turning attention back to God, and that walk with him day by day. Friends, it's a marvelous thing that the God of the universe would consent to walk with us on our pathway. That's not something we could presume. That's not something we could imagine. But God offers it, promises it. And as we cherish that privilege and walk the pathway humbly with him, we find that he keeps his word. And yes, our steps do not slide. Yes, the pathway grows more joyful, more blessed, the farther it is walked. God never deserts the pathway. He is always on it. So it is our task to make sure that we keep on that pathway and walk humbly with Him, and in gladness walk together with the Almighty on His pathway to His destination, which is home. In verse 9 of chapter 66, He says, "Which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved." Yes, that's grounds for blessing God, grounds for praising His name, because we live not because we have that kind of strength, not because we can presume that we're going to be here forever. We have no such confidence. We live because God holds our soul in life. And as long as He's doing that, there is no worry at all. You can't die prematurely. But friends, if He is not holding your soul in life, you are not long for this world. He is responsible for preserving, maintaining, sustaining His people. And that is why we need to keep drawing strength and grace, that we may walk the pathway as we should and walk in fellowship with Him, drawing upon His strength like that constantly, that He may give us that sustaining grace that we need day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute. He alone can sustain us. What a blessed thought that He loves to do that. He is pleased when we seek His face and ask Him for grace and strength and guidance for that pathway every day. In Psalm 94 and verse 15, "But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it." Now, judgment does return unto righteousness. God does not cast off His people, as the psalmist says. The upright in heart shall follow it. That means if you are right with God, you're walking on His pathway. You are upright, that is, not engrossed in the wickedness that is from below. You're instead aiming upward for His presence. And in verse 12, he exclaims, "Blessed is that man whom Thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of Thy law." Yes, the chastening of God is a blessed thing, for He's drawing us back to that pathway, quickening our steps in the right direction. It's what we need. Trouble is, we don't think of chastening that way. Very few children look forward to a chastening. They're trying to figure out how to get away from it. Friends, we as adults are also just as crafty. We're trying to escape it too, but not always in the right direction. And that is by getting back on that pathway where God walks with us every day, every hour. Walking with Him is the great preservation from evil. His presence keeps away the contamination of this wicked world. And without His presence, we get contaminated. Friends, we need to remind ourselves constantly of our need for walking humbly with God, seeking His strength and grace. In verse 13, he says, "That Thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked." Oh, what a reminder. All these worldly people who are traipsing along, having such a good time, enjoying life, despising God, ignoring His word, doing whatever they want to, their pathway is coming to a pit. It's not there immediately. It's being dug. They're digging it. They're digging it deeper all the time. And they're going straight in that direction. Friends, that's a horrifying thought. or a person to be going down a road knowing that there's a pit waiting for him. And it's such a big one, he is not going to miss it. That's a horrifying thought. But friends, the believer in Christ is not on that pathway. He's on a different pathway that goes upward. It may be a little harder looking. It may take the wind out of him sometimes. But he's going on a pathway that leads to God. And God walks with him on that pathway. There is no pit there. It's a pathway that is perfectly safe, every step secure, because God sees to it that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Friends, that's a precious privilege, to walk with God on his pathway, to walk on a pathway you know has no pit waiting for you. It's a serene pathway all the way home. There's not one stumbling block on it. God prepared the pathway. What a comfort that is to every believer. The serenity of knowing that God's pathway is perfect. It is absolutely empowering to think of God walking with us on his pathway. In Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Now that gives us a method of preparing our heart for this walk with God. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." The only way you can do that is by learning the word, learning it so well that you can say it by heart. It's something that comes from inside. It's not something you have to open up a book and read. And that means dwelling on the word, meditating on the word, deliberately memorizing the word, filling your heart with God's holy word. That doesn't happen easily. It takes work to memorize Scripture. But what blessed work it is when you can remember the word and repeat it to yourself when you don't have a Bible open in front of you. When you're busy doing things where you couldn't just turn around and start paging through Scripture, and the word can be there. It's in your heart and memory. It's something you can quote to yourself because you've hidden it inside. What a blessed thing that is. Now, that is something, obviously, that every believer needs to work on, needs to continually work at. Because the word doesn't come automatically. It comes because you memorize it. You keep meditating on it. You keep going over it in your mind. The word is there. But if you close the book and quit thinking about it and just think about other things, then it's hard to remember the wording. We always have to keep coming back and reminding ourselves and repeating the verses to ourselves, going over them again, because that verse is a protection. It is something that keeps us from sin, keeps us on the pathway. And his word is the means by which he purifies our hearts and helps us to walk humbly with him. The hiding of the word in the heart is one of the most important things that any believer can do. But not every believer takes that seriously. If I ask today, do you have a time every day in which you deliberately try to memorize something in Scripture? Is there a deliberate attempt to learn God's word? Let me broaden it even more. Is there a time that you deliberately take to repeat to yourself verses that you have learned and you are supposed to know well? Do you really spend some time on that each day? Well, the psalmist says, "I have hid thy word in my heart." Hiding it means a deliberate act, something that is done so that that verse will be there when you need it. Friends, that's a very important thing. When you are walking down the pathway and the test comes, and here is the moral challenge, and there's no verse in your mind, you can't think of something that would guide you in it, that's a desperate situation. But if that verse is hidden in your heart, and that test is there, and the verse is there, oh, what a comfort that is to be able to quote to yourself, here's the verse that I need. This is the answer to this test. And the test is passed. The challenge is met. Friends, that is a wonderful thing to have those verses in your heart where you can draw upon them and face the tests of life, not with your own ingenuity, but with the remembered Word of God. God's Word gives you that moral strength and power that every one of us need. Hiding it in the heart is worth every effort. In verse 17, he says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word." He asks for God's bountiful care, that he may have the grace he needs to keep the word, keep applying the word to his life, walking that pathway as he knows he should. In verse 19, "I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me." Ah, yes, he doesn't belong in this world. He belongs in another one. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is exactly your position. You don't belong here. This is just a temporary place you're passing through. You belong in a different place. And that word is preparing you for that place. It is aligning your heart and your motives and your thoughts for a place that is very different from our surroundings here. We need that preparation. We need that word desperately. In verse 33, he says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." Teach me. Do you have a teachable heart? Are you asking God to teach you things every day? Or are you confident that you know enough already? I hope you have no such self-confidence. I hope you have instead a contrite heart that knows very well we need help. We need God's help every day, every moment. Who knows when the assaults of the evil one will come? Who knows when temptation may arise? None of us know. We've got to always be prepared. Teach me, Lord. That teachable heart, that prayer to learn, this is what we need all the time, that God may instruct us and help us day by day, that we become what we ought to be. In verse 37, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken thou me in thy way." Yes, we are surrounded with temptation. The world clamors for attention. People are constantly interrupting us, constantly taking us away from the thought of God. We need God's grace to turn our eyes away from vanity. What is vanity? Emptiness. Do you realize that that is what this whole world is? Emptiness. Oh, people have possessions, and they fly away. People have pleasures, and they cease. The world is absolutely empty. It cannot satisfy anyone's heart. And all the people who try desperately to be satisfied with worldly things are just piling up emptiness. What about those people that succeed in piling around them untold wealth, riches and jewels, and whatever the wealth can bring? Why is it that every so often one of them jumps off a bridge? It didn't work. It wasn't satisfying. It didn't meet the need. The heart was hungry, and untold wealth could not satisfy. Friends, only God satisfies. When you have Him, there is literally nothing else you need. God fills the thought, the life, the inward nature, and makes it what it should be, to His glory, to His service. And nothing else can substitute for that. In verse 72, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." The psalmist knew what he was talking about. Worldly wealth is nothing. You'll leave it all behind. God is everything, and He is always with you. He will never leave you. In Psalm 147, verse 3, the psalmist says, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." Now that tells us that the healing balm of Gilead is in the heart of the believer. And yes, many times we are injured in this world. We are hurt by things that happen here. We find ourselves disappointed and grieving. Well, the answer to that is always God. God healeth the broken in heart. There is no sorrow, but heaven's balm can bring relief and wellness. God is the strength of my life. God is all we need. We must think of that and think of how our heart should be devoted to Him. That we should live in our hearts before Him every day, all the time. In verse 6, "The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground." The meek are those who walk His pathway. The meek think about His word and ask Him for help. And yes, He gives it. The Lord lifts them up over their troubles, over their sorrows, to a pathway that He alone can give. In verse 7, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God." The songs of the Christian life need to come from the heart. They need to come because we are filled with joy at the thought of our Savior, at the blessed grace that He imparts to us. Remember the Lord's invitation in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The Lord Jesus lifts every burden. Taking His yoke upon you is not a burden. It is freedom from burdens. For He is helping you lift that yoke. He is carrying you down His pathway. He is fully able to take care of you every step of the way. And we must remember that invitation. Do you have any burden that you've been struggling with? Is there any sorrow that has touched you? "Come unto me," is His word. He is the one that can give you grace and strength and help. Whatever the burden is, whatever the trial may be that you're going through, He is fully able to give you the rest you need, the strength that you need, the grace that you need. He has it all. Friends, we don't have any of it. We lack everything. Everything needs to be drawn from Him, not from ourselves. Self-assurance, self-dependence is a catastrophe. You cannot face the devil alone. You cannot escape the world alone. Only Christ can deliver you. Only He can break the chains and set you free and give you the grace that you need to walk that pathway to God. He is the only hope for the believer. In Romans 5:5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." God loved us so much, He gave His only begotten Son for us. But it didn't stop there. God loves us so much that He gave us His Holy Spirit to abide in our hearts, to dwell with us, to strengthen us, to help us to walk that pathway by His grace, drawing upon His strength. In verse 6, "When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." There's the characterization for us all without Christ: the ungodly, the hopeless, those under the judgment of God. But in Christ, we have life and joy and a home in heaven and the assurance of grace along the pathway, grace and strength to walk with God. My friends, we must recognize that our heart relationship with God is the single most important thing in our lives. It doesn't matter about how much money you've got. It doesn't matter how much fun you're having right now. It doesn't matter how many powerful worldly friends you may know. None of these things can help you. Only God can help you. Only God can give you the grace and strength to walk that pathway that leads into His presence in that celestial city. He's preparing it for you. Friends, are you walking that pathway by His grace, in the presence of His Holy Spirit, with a gaze fixed upon your Savior, walking homeward to that place He's prepared for you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, if you've struggled with something, there's something disturbing that walk, will you take whatever that is and put it on the altar and say, "Lord, You can have it. I don't want it anymore. I want Thee. I want Thy grace. I want the promise of Thy word fulfilled." Now is the time to settle that. O Lord, hear Thy people as they beseech Thee for grace and strength to walk that pathway. We ask, Lord, that Thou wilt give us that strength within that we need, that we may walk our pathway, knowing that Thou art with us, in a heart relationship with Thee that is firm and steadfast, because Thou art abiding in our hearts, quickening our steps, drawing us to Thyself. Help us, Lord, that we may walk with Thee in Thy presence, to Thy glory, in a never-ending path homeward. Thank You, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.